I was talking to Karen Locker the other day from Solutions for E-Commerce. We all know she's a sponsor of my show. She pays me. I don't want to hide that, right? The other thing she reminded me, though, is that if you sign up for her service through my link, you get $50 off, right? You knew that. I forgot that she offers an inventory health assessment. I'm like, Karen, I probably should be talking about that. That valuable service, she's going to take a look through your inventory and help you figure it out. They're going to take care of your suppressed listings. You're tired of having stranded inventory? Is inventory getting lost? When's the last time you looked at your shipments to get them reconciled? How about refunds? Has that happened? Well, Karen takes care of all that for me. She's been doing it for almost 2 years. I pay the same rate you do, but I'm very, very pleased with the service. And two guys, two well-known guys in the area, reach out to me saying, hey, you've been with her. Are you satisfied? I'm perfectly satisfied. And again, I can message her. I get the services I need. So it's Solutions for E-Commerce. The only way you're going to get that deal is using my code Momentum. I have a link on my website. You have to go there. If you're thinking about outsourcing that piece of your business, get your inventory looked at.
Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 202, Tyler Nelson. You know, it's funny, I've seen Tyler's name a whole bunch of different places, but I actually got to meet him, and I got to spend two different weeks with him in the last couple weeks. And I was blown away to find out how old he is, because he's mature in some ways. And I'm thinking, he doesn't look it, but he's only 22. And what's very cool about Tyler is he's been selling for 6 years. Now, 6 years of his life, right? Almost a quarter of his life he's been selling. Think about your life. If you're 50, well, I'm 51. Think about, man, if I was selling for the last 13, 14 years, how much better seller would I be? Well, Tyler's a very mature 22-year-old in the selling world, and I think it really shows. Let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, and I'm very excited about today's guest because, well, you know, he's got a story. I don't know the story, so I'm interested to hear the story. But what I'm really interested, what I learned recently, was he's been selling for 6 years. The dude's 22 years old. Welcome, Tyler Nelson. Welcome, Tyler.
Howdy. It's good to be on today.
6 years. Dude, you're only 22.
Well, five and a half. I mean, but I do have a grandfather to count. So I get daily payouts.
Really? Yes. Well, that's very cool. Yes. That's a big deal, right?
Oh, it is. I mean, especially during Q4 when I'm, you know, spending so much on credit cards. And then I'm able to send it in, get it sold. You know, I have my money like sometimes 7 to 10 days after I actually spend it.
Now, think about that. I mean, you know, one of the things in a pre-interview, I always ask people their education and this and that. And Tyler said that he went to school, and I'm giving part of the story away, but he was learning more business than the business classes he was taking. There's a perfect example, right? When you can turn your money over in 7 to 10 days, how much is that annualized, Tyler?
A lot.
A lot, right? That's better than any business school I went to, and I went to grad school.
A lot of inventory.
So let's go back. So you are a whopping 22 years old, and you're having really, I mean, you had a great year by any stretch of the imagination last year. This year, your plan is to kill it, and you're on pace, correct?
I am on pace.
More than double last year's number, and your last year's number is more than most retail businesses do in their whole year. I mean, have you thought about that?
I really haven't. I've every once in a while I'll stop and take a look at the numbers, and just every once in a while I keep shocking and impressing myself. I'm like, wow, how did I sell that number of units? I don't remember selling or I don't even remember sourcing that much of, say, you know, that many things in toys, because I never intentionally source toys, but they show up.
They often
come in others. I do a lot of TA, and, you know, I'll get a toy scan. I'll get toys out of a reverse search with Storefront Stalker or something. And that leads to a rabbit hole, which leads to a Target sale. And then I may actually go targeting toys or something like that. But I don't ever intentionally source certain things. And I'm always amazing myself with what I'm able to do.
We're going to come back to that, because I think you are a very fast growing generation of sellers where you're just, you know your tools, period. You, it's not a crutch. You're taking advantage. It's not taking advantage in a negative way. You're using the tools that are given. It's a guy who can dig a ditch with a pick and a shovel or a backhoe, right? I mean, let's face it. I mean, you know, there's something romantic about digging a ditch with a pick and a shovel, and there's something historical about it. Or a backhoe, one scoop and you're done, right? There's some value in that second option. And so that's not a crutch. That's an easy example. All right, so how did you get started selling?
So it was 2011. I was a senior in high school, and I purchased some video games where I was working at this thrift store called Value Village. Others may know it as Sabres, but I was working there, and I purchased some video games that my mother did not approve of. I mean, I was 17. I could legally, under industry standards, I could buy them in a store and everything like that, but she didn't approve of them. And when your mother says something, supposed to obey. So she wanted me to get rid of them, whether it was to donate them, bring them to GameStops, or she was like, sell them on Amazon. And I had already tinkered around with the Amazon trade-in program, but I had never sold anything. So I opened a selling account, and then I sold a couple video games, sold some books from around the house. Then this is back in the days where they had the Amazon price check app. It wasn't meant for sellers, but I didn't have a smartphone. So I'd use my mom's old iPhone 3GS to use the price check app to just check things around the house. Oh, that book's worth $30. When was the last time you read that book, Mom? Oh, 3 years ago. You can have it. You can sell it. And all this I was doing via merchant fulfillment. In 2012, turned 18.
But wait, why were you working at Sabres? I mean, was it just, did your parents say, if you need to earn money, you got to work?
No, it was just a high school job.
Okay. I mean, were you working towards something, or was this it? Did you have a car? I mean, did you have to pay for any of that stuff?
I didn't have a car. I didn't have to pay for insurance or anything. My parents wanted me to do well in school, but if I wanted to buy anything, I had to pay for it.
Okay. So there was a lesson there they were trying to teach you.
Yeah. So I saved up a ton of money while in high school, and then started going to college. I was in it for a year, and I did horribly. I couldn't focus. I was cutting classes to either do Amazon stuff or hang out with friends.
Were you a good high school student?
Oh, I was a great high school student.
So pause there a second. So I just want to make sure people hear this. So you were a good high school student, and it was probably you were disciplined and organized, right? Because high school's that way. You go into the college environment where it's not, and you take a generic business degree, correct?
Yes, that's what I was going for. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I just wanted a business degree.
And so, the old adage, get that piece of paper. It didn't seem to apply to you, did it?
No. I couldn't focus. All the professors were old and antiquated and not understanding how things work. Because I was already selling on Amazon. And in my accounting class, I'd bring up a question and they're like, well, I don't know.
Is that what turned you off the most, because you felt like I'm in this new world? You've had a taste of success. By then, how much were you selling on Amazon by then?
Not a whole lot.
I mean, 1,000 a month?
More than that. It was
a couple thousand.
5 to 10. It was mostly merchant fulfilled video games with thrifted garage sales.
Okay.
Didn't start any RA or OA till November of 2012.
But here's the thing, Tyler. You had a six-figure Amazon business going to college. You had a six figure. So, sell 10,000 a month. That's more than six figures. And here you are going into this antiquated system where they're going to teach you how to be a retailer or go into business in the business environment of a corporation. And they're telling you, well, this is the way it's done. And you're sitting there saying, no, that's not the way it's done. I'm doing it, and I'm not doing it that way, right? Is that? I want to make sure we get that connection there, because I think it's real. I think you're spot on.
My little brother went to I was going to the Matanuska Susitna Borough, but the same campus, the big campus, was in Anchorage. My brother was going to that, and he had a professor say that resale is illegal and not profitable. This was 2 years. This was after I moved to Wisconsin, and I just had to chuckle when he told me that, because that's what me and so many thousands of other people are doing in this new millennium, is we're reselling things.
But it's back to, you know, back in the old days, when the gold rush was on, the guy who made money was the guy who sold picks and shovels. Do you think he was out there in the forge making these pans and then putting together these picks? No, he was buying them from somebody else and reselling them. That's the whole basis of our economy, right?
Yeah, instead of a UPS truck, he put them on a wagon.
Right. So we're talking, I mean, the guy was an idiot. And so it's very hard to learn when you have that closed-minded, and, you know, and this is so unfair because that's not true of every one of them. But there are some of these guys who've never worked in a real job, and that limits their boundaries. And so therefore you're trained that way. That's the way you're trained. And if you don't see the other side of those boundaries, you're limited, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Did your brother, did he finish school?
He's currently, well, he just got back. He went to Utah for one semester to pick up a few extra credits he needed, but he'll be graduating after one more semester with a degree in aviation management.
Okay, so now your parents are looking at him and they're looking at you. How's that go?
Oh, they're proud of us both. My sister, she's going to school for graphic design. My older brother's working oil stuff up in North Dakota. They're proud of us all. It took them a while to come around to me because of what I was, you know, the way I was doing things. I mean, I was tinkering around, going to thrift stores and playing Xbox. And it wasn't until I moved, I think, that they really saw the power of what I'm doing.
Do you think, if I would have asked them, you know, growing up, what do you think Tyler's going to end up doing? What would they have said?
They probably would have said a lawyer or a teacher.
Interesting.
I come from a family of teachers. My dad's he's now a principal, going back to being a teacher. I have a bunch of aunts that were teachers, grandmas that were teachers. But growing up, I wanted to be a lawyer. But then that fizzled away, I think, when I was 17 or so. I just didn't want to do it anymore. But that's probably one of the two is what they probably would have said.
Hmm. It's interesting. I guarantee they're proud of you, especially to me, what I appreciate is the fact that you know it, you know your business, you know your numbers, and you're not afraid of hard work. That's valuable. That's a lot of value. And as you said, you're getting an education that you never felt like you got in school. To me, that's very important. Okay, I cut you off, but I just don't want to lose that point because I think it's so important what you said. You went to school, you had a six-figure business, and you weren't connecting. All right, so pick it up there.
So then it's about November of 2012. I see this Black Friday ad. It's Black Friday, or it's Thursday. We had eaten turkey and everything. Saw this Black Friday ad, and I saw these video games on the front cover. And this is back in the merchant fulfillment days, back when there were featured merchants. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it was a little harder to take off. But I saw that, and I was still doing merchant fulfillment, but I'm like, that Call of Duty game that's $20, I could sell for $38 plus shipping. So I'm like, hey, Mom, want to go Black Friday shopping? She's like, okay. So I go to Target and Walmart and buy these games, and then I list them, and they're gone. Some of these games are selling in minutes.
Wait, so you leave the store, you're listing them while you're sitting in the passenger seat of the car?
Yes, yes, and they're selling it in minutes.
That's crazy. Love it.
So then I see the exact same deals on Amazon. I'm like, oh, wow. And so I had gotten a student Prime account. So I didn't know it violated the terms of service. But over the next month, I spent $6,000 on things from Amazon to flip on Amazon and a few on eBay. I flipped a couple of video games on eBay. One of them was defective. Buyer complained. I told him to give Amazon the order number. And I'm looking back, I shouldn't have done this, but to tell them it was a gift. He's like, he actually told Amazon the truth, which they sent me the actual, because it was defective. They sent me the proper, a new one, which I sent to him, and they canceled my Prime account.
Mm.
It could have been a lot worse.
So let's just correctly state this. If you were buying them from a legitimate Amazon account, not a Prime account, you would have done nothing wrong. You were buying from Amazon and selling them on Amazon. That was fine, but you can't use a Prime, which is free shipping, right? They are not going to allow that.
You cannot use Prime for resale.
Right, period.
So
no gray area. No gray area.
There is no gray. Up in Alaska, I didn't have a business account. But if you are down here in the lower 48 in a place that has sales tax, you can get a business account, provided that you have a legitimate business. prove to Amazon that you have a legitimate business. Get with that, you'll get 2-day shipping totally free if you spend more than $49, and you can get tax exempt enabled with that, so you don't have to pay any tax and then later get it refunded or whatnot, or however it works in your state. So I use that now for my Amazon to Amazon flips when I buy from Amazon.
All right, and that's perfectly legit. You don't have to worry about that, because yes, you know, now the only question is it an is that going to pass the authenticity claim sometimes? That's that's discretionary sometimes. It depends on who you ask. Okay, so your selling Prime account gets shut down. Oops. You got $6,000 worth of video games.
Video games, DVDs, electronics. It was mostly daily deals that I was, and I don't know if you can flip daily deals either.
No, you can't.
Nope. I know you can't with Lightning deals, but yeah, and then that fizzled away. Ooh. in middle of January. Just that Q4 was super, super hot with these daily deals and other sales they were having. And I haven't seen the same level of deals since. Hmm. Not 2013, 14, anytime. 2012, those deals were really, really hot. So now I'm back to where I had been. I'm like, okay, there's still books to thrift, but there's now online arbitrage to do and retail arbitrage, which the retail took me a little slower to get into. But with OA, there was this item. I can out it now because I don't think it's good anymore. But I had bought at a garage sale in November this bundle of a Nintendo Wii with some games, the Wii Fit set, and it also came in a Longaberger basket. So the basket alone was worth like the $60 that I paid for it. My mom had pointed that out. She's like, you got to get that bundle just for the basket. So I did. Gave the basket away as a gift. But there were these plastic pieces with rubber attached to them. They were Wii Fit foot extensions. And they were used. I sold them as used for about $3 plus shipping. But then I found you could sell them for $6 plus shipping new. And you could get them you could get four of them for $11 on eBay. So that was what got me into the Amazon, into the online arbitrage, away from the Amazon to Amazon flips.
So you're buying quantity then?
Yeah, I'd buy 40 or 50 at a time. It was in the everything else category. It's since been moved to the video games category, but it was in everything else. And that was the only, while they still had the featured merchant days, everything else was the only category I was able to become a featured merchant in and then get the buy box.
Huh. You, learned how to do this pretty early on. You said this was 2014 or 2015?
This was 2013.
So you picked up on that and said, huh, I don't have to leave my house. I can buy these things and I can scale it. What were you at that point? You were still in school?
I was still in school. Okay. My last semester ended in May of 2013. And then the next month I moved to live with a friend in Anchorage, which was the big town in Alaska.
But you were moving from Wisconsin?
No. I this was all in Alaska.
Oh, okay. Your family was from Alaska. Okay. All right. Yeah. Because you're not going to do a lot of retail arbitrage in Alaska. That's probably a given. Yeah. Okay. All right. I get it. So how's the conversation go with your mom? Hey, and your dad, hey, I think I'm going to drop out of school and go and do this, whatever this is.
We didn't have that conversation. Another tip for those of you that are young in here is don't lie to your parents.
Ooh.
So I moved out and then I told them I was still going to school. It was maybe October and I was feeling really guilty. So I sent my parents a text about it and that did not go very well. So,
ouch.
Lying to your parents is never a good idea. I mean, I was an adult and they couldn't like ground me or anything, but
a difficult relationship with your parents?
Growing up, it was a little tough, but it's gotten better. It's great now. And my mom and I have actually been able to bond through Amazon because I think 2014, she started merchant fulfilling a few books, like textbooks that were my little brother and sister. She'd buy the textbooks and then she would sell the textbooks and sometimes she'd make money.
Hmm.
She kind of picked it up from me where in the 2 years I was in, or the 2 semesters I was in school, I only paid $200 for my books after factoring in buying them at the right time and then reselling.
When you came back, so you sent them the text, that was difficult.
I was still living in, I still lived in Anchorage for about another 5 months.
Okay, but you were with a friend at that point.
Yeah, living with friends.
I mean, were you able to see them face to face and get through that uncomfortable conversation?
It was just extremely awkward and embarrassing.
Yeah, because in your mind, you failed. Because of the lying. I mean, I can't imagine you were having success, but the lying, that had to be tough.
And I mean, I wasn't making all, I mean, I was doing sales, but from Alaska, I was still merchant fulfilling, which was getting expensive. And I mean, just the money wasn't there with some of the products. There were these Nintendo DSs I was buying on eBay, used DSs. I'd sell them. And then I was only making like $5 profit per, but I was selling a few a day. But it was very capital intensive for the time. So,
did you see a future for yourself at that point?
I realized I needed to sharpen my skills if I didn't want to have to get a real job. But even despite that, I worked two part-time jobs. I worked at Costco for a couple months in Q4 of 2013, and for a couple months after moving back in 2014, I worked at Target. So I learned a few of the ins and outs of Target within the 3 months I worked there.
So you're not afraid to work. I mean, I give you credit for that. I mean, you're not afraid to put your head down and work. But were you still kind of drifting? Is that a fair word?
Yeah, drifting is a good word.
Okay. All right, let's do this. I want to take a break because I want to talk about coming out of a drift. How do you get out of a drift? And I want you to give advice on young people, because you're young, you're way young, young people who are still drifting, but know that they want something more and they know they have the capacity for it. Okay, we'll take a break. Be right back. You've heard me talk a lot about private label, and Andy Slammons is back with a new free course. It's the SMART Private Label course. S stands for selecting a product. M, manufacture with the right supplier. So important. Amazing photos, keyword research, and listing preparation is the A. R stands for ranking your product to the first page of search. We all know how critical that is. And then T is taking your product to the top of Amazon and beyond. This is a free course. It's going to help you get that foundation to do your own private label productness. You want to work smarter. Get it smarter. AmazingFreedom.com/smart. AmazingFreedom.com/smart. Tell Andy I sent you. You know, it hit me about halfway through the episode because I heard him say it, but it didn't sink in. He was doing these big numbers, and he tells his numbers. He did them from Alaska. Now, think of the hindrance it is to get anything shipped. And we talk a little bit about that. But I think he's downplaying how big of a deal it is. He had an incredible amount of success in Alaska. And I just think that just says something about the type of seller he is. Anyway, he's had a great year this past year, but now he's more than doubling his business. And that's not an easy thing. But again, he's 22 years old. Love it. And I love when he talks about his warehouse. Wait till you hear about his warehouse. Let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back and we're talking with Tyler Nelson. And at this point of the story, he is drifting. He is in the drifts, not in the snow drifts in Alaska. Sorry, couldn't resist, had to. But you are drifting. And I don't think that that's an unfair thing, because I think, quite frankly, my biggest fear, and I tell this story, and this is the truth, I tell my boys all the time, don't pick a job that you're going to have for the next 40 years, because that's awful. Man, if you got to do that same thing for 40 years, I want more from your life than that. I want you to live that life you want to live, right? And so drifting is good as long as it's not hurting anyone else or you're hurting yourself. So you're drifting along, your things are going okay. What happens? How do you pull out of that?
I decided that if I was going to continue what I was doing, I just really had to sharpen my skills, because I was running around to thrift stores, finding a few things at Walmart, but I wasn't doing anything. I didn't start buying anything from Target other than Black Fridays until I started working there.
But was there an event? I mean, was there something that said, aha? I mean, when the light bulb went on, Was there a switch?
Triggered it, but
no?
the light bulb did come, and I'm like, I need to sharpen my skills.
Okay.
And so I got out of selling like these used things I was sourcing from eBay to Amazon, and I was still doing merchant fulfillment, but it was in when was it? It was February of 2014. I sent in my first FBA shipment. It was some books. Some homeschooling books that belong to the family of my youth pastor, and I sold them for them on commission. And these books, they got scanned in, and they weren't even ranked the greatest relatively, but they were flying off the shelves compared to my books.
Yeah. Huh.
So the light bulb was on. So then I sent in some new video games that I had sourced on eBay, which at the exact same time I switched from focusing on used items on eBay to new. And preferably things I could buy more than one of. But that isn't always the case. I was buying a lot of lots. You know, there'd be like 37 new games across 24 titles. So there'd be two of this, three of that, and one of a bunch of things. I shipped in one of those lots, and I got the buy box. I mean, I was like, getting
whoa,
it.
Whoa, what happened?
Only time I'd ever seen the buy box before was with those Wii Fit foot extensions. And so the sales picked up. And I continued doing that. I started sourcing at Target and another store called Fred Meyer. It's owned by Kroger. It's like a Kroger, but they also sell video games, and they have a gun department. They sell a bunch of Alaskan things in addition to simply being a Kroger. But,
so FBA for you, it allowed you a couple things, right? So because you have daily payouts, so you were seeing your money, like you said, you got the buy box, that means things sold faster. So you got your money that much faster. So you started to gain velocity. Is that what you would say that FBA did for you?
Yeah, it did. It picked up through 2014 until 2015, where it was awesome. 2015, I did $285,000 in sales from Alaska.
What did you do different in 2015?
I just hit buying from eBay really, really, really hard. That year, I spent $110,000 on eBay.
Wow.
On new inventory, nothing used. But the limiting factor I had was I was in Alaska. Mm. All these other online retailers that I wanted to source from, I couldn't because they wouldn't ship to me. There was a retailer, I can't even remember what it's called. It was a relatively small company out of New York or something, New York, New Jersey, somewhere on the East Coast. And I called them asking why they didn't have Alaska as an option on the list of states for putting in your address. And the customer service representative said that they did not ship items via dog sled.
Wow.
So I was...
Ooh, ouch.
I called back and I complained, and I offered to give them $50 to ship the 15 video games I wanted in a flat rate box. And they're like, we only ship via UPS and we don't ship internationally. Huh. And that was the supervisor. So I had it with that company. I didn't want to have anything to do with them.
So business was good. I mean, you had a good year, $285,000 is a great business.
The
shipping was killing you. So you saw that as a limit.
I had to pay all the shipping to get things to me from eBay, and then to get things out, I didn't get the partnered shipping rates that everyone in the lower 48 gets. I was shipping things to Amazon either via media mail, which would take 3 weeks, and that was about $40 for a 50-pound box. Whoa. It would take 3 weeks, and I had two boxes get lost. Well, one was lost just off the face of the earth. It was full of a bunch of textbooks. And then another one got returned to me completely empty. So I used it as a coffee table for a week, and it was the world's most expensively hollow coffee table, as I described it. Just an empty box. It was a relatively big box, but it had been full of books, about $500 of the books. There were no rips to the box or anything. They had resealed it and shipped me back the empty box from Washington or something. This was the United States Postal Service. But everything else was going in mostly large flat rate boxes, which were costing me $17. And now I can ship a 50 pound box to California for that. So I spent $11,000 on shipping in 2015. I spent the exact same amount of money on inbound shipping in 2016, but I must have shipped 10 times the cubic volume for the same amount of money.
Well, competitively, right, your competitors would have spent maybe a tenth of that, right, $1,000 or whatever. And so competitively, you were at a disadvantage. Your profits, you guaranteed were going to lose $10,000 worth of profits over those products that your competitor didn't.
Yeah. So it was October of 2015 that I'm like, I'm making some money, but I'm not getting ahead. I want to move back to Wisconsin.
So did you have family in Wisconsin or anything?
I do have family in Wisconsin. I have a bunch of family on my mom's side of the family, two hours north, and a bunch 2 hours northeast. But so I moved to Eau Claire, which was just south of Chippewa Falls, where my dad had most recently worked. So it's a city. It's big enough. We have a Target, a Sam's Club, a Walmart. There's a Walmart up the road, another Walmart 30 minutes down the road. I mean, there's nothing. It's not a city or anything, but it sure beats Alaska. I mean, I'm an hour and a half from the Twin Cities. If I need to hit a bunch of things, like I'll often do with Target.
Well, the thing that I just saw you in two different, let's see, we were in Providence and we were both in Atlanta, and you now seem to have taken this lifestyle approach to the business. You're out there investing in your time or investing your money into yourself, right? Learning at these conferences and connecting with people. That would be very difficult to do from Alaska.
Very much so. And that moving decision I made in October, but I almost forgot. I didn't write it down because I do have a small page of notes here. But in August of 2015, I applied for a job at this pawn shop that I was getting a lot of inventory from. I had a relationship with them where we'd haggle, and they'd get a bunch of video games in, and they'd spend $250 a unit to buy them from these people. And it, regardless of the game, it was in the hood. So, I mean, it was really, really ghetto. But they would bring out all the unpriced games. I'd go through them. I'd take a stack and I'll give you this much money for it. And they're like, that's cool because it's fair. We're making a ton of money and we know you're going to make some too. So they wanted to hire me because they were extremely short staffed. The two employees that I dealt with mostly, they wanted me hired to do all the video games and do all the firearms because I was knowledgeable with both. So I applied, and the store manager, she loved me too. She wanted me, but the district manager refused to hire me unless I would give up selling on Amazon because it's a conflict of interest. Yeah. I said I'd sign paperwork saying I would not buy for personal use items in any categories that I sold on Amazon, and she said it would still not be enough. So I realized that selling on Amazon could be a hindrance to getting even a part-time job.
That closed-mindedness, right? That limited. Now, because I just interview came out today, Peter Kearns, and he worked for Amazon, and he was encouraged while working at Amazon having an Amazon seller account. I mean, he works for the company, and they encourage him to have an Amazon seller account because they realize that makes you stronger, makes you more knowledgeable, right? Have you thought about that, like that pawn shop? I mean, how
I did.
I mean, how crazy is that?
I offered to get them started on Amazon and eBay themselves, and they just didn't understand. The district manager didn't understand the potential value of that.
It's unfortunate that those limited beliefs are holding those companies back. And I mean, it just could really take and make them successful. Anyway, okay, so things are, was that going to be in Alaska or in Wisconsin, the pawn shop?
The pawn shop was in Anchorage.
Okay, so Anchorage. So that was the other thing that you just said, you know what, this is enough. It's not meant to be, I've got to go. I want to go somewhere I kind of know. And since you lived there, you were familiar with Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And that was where you'd go.
Yeah, I go to the same, when I'm in town, because I was in Providence and Atlanta, drove there and all that. But when I'm in town, I try to make it to the same church that I went to back in high school while living here. I have some of the same friends. Some of my friends' parents are really cool. Like, my friends won't even be around, and they'll invite me over for dinner and board games and things like that. So I have a supportive network here, and I have friends I've made on my own. One of the guys that works for me lived in the small town that we grew up in, where I was between kindergarten and fifth grade. He moved here, went to college here. I was finishing up going to school to be a police officer, but in his spare time and in the time that he's going to be looking for a job, he's working for me. He's on my commercial auto policy, so he can go do in-store pickup or take cardboard to the recycling company. And it's just good to have people working for you that you know and trust and are friends with. Hmm. And it just happened to be that we were best friends. Then he moves back to the town that I moved to. It's the odds were astronomical, but it worked out really well.
It almost sounds like it kind of meant to be.
Yeah.
So things start happening. What's different?
In 2016, the biggest thing, I think, was outsourcing a lot of labor. Not everything is outsourced right now, but I'm working towards it being. Like before you were on the phone, before you we got on the phone, I was polybagging some things, but that's simply because my primary prepper is just feeling under the weather today.
Okay, and you're willing to pick it up, and that's what you got to do, right? That's how it works, right?
Yeah, it's units that, I mean, they make me $10 a piece, and I sell 3 of them a day, so there's no reason for me not to be working on it. It's work that makes me money.
So this past year, you had a great year. What would you say was the reason? I mean, if you had to put one thing down to say, this is what made the difference. So outsourcing, you know, some of the labor sounds like it was, I mean, well, maybe that was the reason. Or was it tactical arbitrage?
I started using, so I met Alex Moss at the end of April. Mm-hmm. And he told me about the software, and I didn't start using it because I had to get Amazon affiliate credentials. And I thought, I'm a slow person to adopt new things like that. And I didn't start using it until October with textbooks. And then December with normal products. I used mostly OIX Rate, but it just got kind of buggy. And then after using Tactical Arbitrage, it's able to process so much more data. I mean, you can't use OIX Rate while you sleep. And you can only do it one page at a time. Just TA does so much more. I mean, I don't get paid to like promote it or anything.
No, I understand. I don't want to put anybody else down. But
those of you that are listening here, Tactical Arbitrage is the number one sourcing tool you can get. And with Tactical Arbitrage and just in-store scanning, I've learned to source more categories. I got engaged in grocery, health and personal care, which is open now, and beauty. And with those, half my sales are coming from those three categories right now. I learned how to sell clothing, toys, sporting goods, lawn and garden. I don't do any clothing or shoes anymore, just due to the fact that I'm trying to keep my number of SKUs down.
Right.
Just like in a podcast, Peter Kearns mentioned this morning that you want to keep your number of SKUs down and know your inventory. And I'm trying to learn more and more about what I'm selling. I have this one product, half the packaging is in Chinese. So I went onto the manufacturer's website and found out what it's really made out of and what it is. And it's kind of disgusting, but there was the item that I was polybagging earlier today.
So what would you say, what are you learning by using Tactical Arbitrage specifically?
It's not so much, actually, yeah, I'm learning how much opportunity there truly is. I'm feeling that I'm finally able to realize the potential of me moving to Wisconsin. There's all these products from all these retailers that I've never even heard of.
Were you walking past them in the store before?
Absolutely.
Now think about that, right? You're walking down an aisle and you were, you know, probably pretty good at scanning or whatever, but yet you still walk past all these items, and now all of a sudden, like the clouds open, there's a beam of light and it's shining on them.
I had way too much tunnel vision with video games and books and little things, because what I focused on when I was in Alaska was little things. But within a couple months of living here, within a couple hours, I had scoured most of the video games from Walmart and whatnot, and I just wasn't finding much. So I realized I have to source more categories, and that's when I started learning how to source all these other categories. So now video games aren't the majority of my business anymore. They make up maybe 15% of it, which it's a lot less, and I'm able to make more money as a result of it.
If you had to say what your biggest skill set is, what would you say that is?
Uh-huh. I didn't have any opportunities to do it in Alaska, but I think it would be the networking. It all goes back to the Rocky Mountain Reseller Conference about a year ago. Right. I met some really cool people, and then one of them created a mastermind in October with some people that you've had on this show. I mean, with the mastermind, it has people like Dave Matthews, Matt Kelly, Chris Vaughn.
Love those guys.
And there's a total of 15 of us, 14 guys and one lady. And we just kick ass together. We share bolos and strategies and go over things with a few of the people. I've, you know, gone on group buys and whatnot. And we've also helped each other not buy things. One person brought this list of this offer of almost, I think, $150,000 worth of Xbox One consoles. And he didn't know what he was looking at. And I analyzed it. And I'm like, you're not going to make any money if you buy that. And it's, you know, saved him a potential headache. He would have gone in on it with a couple people. And I'm like, you guys can't go in on that.
So you get the collective knowledge of the group, right? Kind of saying, hey, let's talk about, because you're a video game expert, right? So you probably bring that piece to the group. And so it's like, okay, hey, let me explain to you why this is working, or why this would work and why this wouldn't, or hey, why that deal isn't a good deal, right? That lesson, that value, that knowledge that you have is very valuable. And so you're willing to share that in a group of people that you trust because they seem to give back to you, right?
Oh, absolutely. If those of you that are listening, if you're not in a mastermind yet, find one or form one. Find people that you can trust and connect with. You might have to go you might have to go to a conference in person to meet some people because I had only met one real seller beforehand. And so I walk into this sports bar, and there's Jason Wilkie and Todd from OA X-Ray and Travis Ross. And I'm like, wow, are these real Amazon sellers?
It's a very isolating business. And so why did you go to the conference? What made you go to Rocky Mountain?
Travis Ross talked me into it like a week beforehand. He's like, okay. He's like, you have to come. And I'm like, okay, if I can find a house sitter, because I had all this incoming stuff at the time. But yeah, I found someone to house sit, and he actually tidied up a little bit.
Nice.
So I made him he was unemployed, so he prepped for me then for a couple months, but then he found a job that I couldn't match what they offered him, because he's now making about $100,000 a year working for Bank of America. But it was that experience of having someone to help tidy things up and prep things that was really eye-opening. Because I am a horribly disorganized person, so having someone else around to help organize is wonderful.
Yeah, and that's not your skill set. So okay, no, okay.
Like right here, I'm sitting in I rented a townhouse half a mile from my house that has a garage with it has a full 2-car garage and a living room and a bedroom upstairs. I'm sitting in that bedroom. And then one of my prepper, the full-time girl, Rebecca, is moving in downstairs. So I don't have to deal with all the clutter at my house. It gets segregated. She's very, very detail-oriented, so things won't get cluttered like they were. And she's always here for the incoming packages. Huh. We came to this agreement because due to a minor medical condition, she can't drive. So instead of having to bring her to me or have her live with me, she gets to live where I work. I get a full 2-car garage for working on all this. And then I get to actually park my own car in my own garage at home.
Wow. It's a smart move. I mean, and that's all out of the box thinking, right? You don't have to have a warehouse. You don't have to have what you're looking for is this. And boom, you were able to find that. Love. That's a power tip right there. That's a pro tip. Tyler, you're 22 years old. You're not supposed to have pro tips, darn it.
Because I had a commercial space and it just wasn't working.
22 years old.
It was 15 miles away, so it's half an hour. If I forget something at home or if I forget something there, it's half an hour that I'm
just waiting. Your day is shot. No, I agree.
Now, this is 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
And there's actually a kitchen here, so I can eat more healthy while I'm working. It's in a nice, quiet neighborhood. UPS, there's not a problem for them to back up. There's a nice, pretty view of some trees behind. And it doesn't cost much more than what the warehouse was costing me. And ultimately, I'm getting the same amount of space.
Love it. You know, you sit back and think about what you learned by renting that warehouse. Now you've rented what you need instead of, you know, what you thought you need. Every time you do something like that, right? Here's the lesson, right? This is the best education you're ever going to get, right? You're told one thing, oh, you need to rent a warehouse. Oh, let me go rent a warehouse. And then you realize, well, functionally, I only really need these pieces. And you're able to find a way to make it work. And now you've even made it work even more for that lifestyle. You're 22 years old building a lifestyle business, Tyler. It's very impressive. I'm just telling you, I'm sitting back and I'm thinking at it because I'm 51 and I'm sitting back and saying, this guy's 30 years younger than me and he's figured it out. It's a big deal. As your father is very proud of you. He might not say it, but let me just tell you, if he heard what I just heard, he'd be very proud of you. It's a big deal.
I talked to them on the phone a couple days ago, and yeah, they're happy with what's going on here.
Good for you. I mean, that's cool as a dad. I'm just telling you, it's very cool. It's very cool to me because if you can get it at your age, I just can't wait to see where you are when you're my age, because that lifestyle is just so important. So you did just go to two conferences. You were down in Atlanta, which was an amazing conference, right? Top sellers, really strong.
That was very, very high caliber.
It was high caliber, a lot of great knowledge. We go to Chris Green's a week ago, and I did an interview with Chris. It'll be out before this. And what I loved about Chris is it was very intimate. Is that a fair way to say it?
Yeah, it was I've been to Rocky Mountain, ASD twice, Ecom Chicago, Midwest Ecom, Resonate, and then this. And it was the smallest conference. It was the smallest room, smallest number of people, but that's not a bad thing. It was more intimate with the room, with the networking after hours and whatnot. It was a good venue. I mean, it was attached to that mall. There was restaurants and things right there, and they had good food too.
Yeah, I thought it was very cool. I liked the ability to communicate with people. You had ample places to go and talk. Because that's a lot of the time the hard part is to find a place to talk to somebody. There was so many, and you really didn't have to go very far to get to places. I think it was really well done. And the quality of the speakers it blew me away. I mean, I was like, wow. I mean, it was really great. I mean, very, again, the intimacy. And I think you get that at each one. So what's your expectation for Rocky Mountain?
Well, they did a wonderful job last year, and that was the first time they'd ever done it. If I remember correctly, they started planning it like 5 months beforehand or something ridiculously short. Mm-hmm. And now they've had a full year to plan. Actually, more than a full year, because last year was in April and this one's in June. So they've had more than a year to prepare. And another guy, Paul Witter, is in that group I'm in.
I love Paul.
I don't know if you've had him on yet.
I have.
Oh, you have? So that makes four people. So he's a great guy. And I can only imagine that the next conference is going to be even better, especially seeing some of the names that they're putting up.
What I valued what you said is that you went to that conference, you met a group of people, and together you guys took action. That's what's so important right there, right? What's your plans? So you just came back from Scanpower and Resonate. Did you learn anything there, or did you figure out something that you're going to come back and put into your business?
I have. It was talking, you were there at that table with the guys from the Wholesale Formula, and we were talking hiring and firing people. And I realized that even now, I don't have enough prep help come this Q4, because Craig, who's my childhood friend, he's probably going to get a full-time job as a cop and probably have to move away and all that. And then my other part-time guy, Sam, is going away in September for a missions trip. So with only one full-time person, I'm not going to be able to do things. I need to get more help than what I even have already now. So that's one of the really big things I took away. So, and I'm kind of a paranoid person, but I may, you know, have to, you know, hire someone off Craigslist or through care.com or something in order to fulfill the demand for labor with polybagging and prepping and stickering and unstickering and running miscellaneous errands and all those kind of things. So I'm going to keep my eye out for someone I know or a friend of a friend for the next month or so. But after that, I'm willing to open it up to the internet to find someone that I can work with, because I need more labor. Yeah, I need more people for labeling, but I need more labor for what for what's coming.
So what you want to do is you want to start looking now, and you start looking at people in stores, right? The people that are working at the cash register, the ones that actually make eye contact with you, the yes. ones that actually reply to you when you talk to them. And those are the people you want to talk with, because those people have the skills you need, right? The ability to learn, listen, you know, pay attention, that kind of thing. Start doing that now, and you'll be surprised. That's a better way to find people, right?
Yeah,
there.
I pay decent money too. So I mean, I pay $12 an hour, which is more than a lot of retail jobs. So if I can find someone who's diligent, that would be willing to jump ship from wherever they're working at and come work for me, I think it could be a win-win. So
good for you. All right. So what's next for Tyler? What do you think is going to be next? I mean, you're going to have a big year. You've got big plans. You're on track for it. You seem like you're getting everything right. You figured some things out. Hey, I need to get some help. I'm going to work on that. What's next? I mean, when you look out, where are you going?
Next is wholesale and private label.
Okay.
I did a wholesale deal with one of the guys in the group of a seasonal, best way to put it, it's a gag gift.
Okay.
And we bought out the manufacturer. We bought out the manufacturer. We got, I think, 1,100 units between the two of us. Cost was about $3 a unit, and we sold them mostly for $15 or $16. Each of us made like $4,000 off the product. We then find out when that product is going to be back in stock. In August, we're going to buy probably four times as much as we did because we got in on it very late. But I want to replicate that success, not to the return on investment standards, but I just want to have far more wholesale products where it's easy to press a button or make a phone call and get 100 or 200 or 1,000 units my way. But I also want to launch I want to dip my toes into private label, and I have people in this group that are willing to help me with that too.
Again, because of the investment in the group, you've been able to, or you feel confident that you can reach out to people you trust. But that didn't just come, right? That's already more than a year old.
Yes, it is. I've known some of the people for a long time, and there's other people. Like, there's one guy in the group, we had beef. We got into some stupid political fight on our personal profiles, and I blocked him. But then 2 months later, I kind of realized from someone else telling me, he's like, Tyler, you're a moron. You should unblock him. He's sharing good stuff. And then now the two of us were, you know, almost a couple times a week, we're chatting about stuff and helping each other out. So,
well, that's a maturity issue right there, dude.
Yeah, if there's stupid political BS or things like that on personal profiles, you can be like, hey, let's just deal with each other on a strictly FBA basis.
What are you doing? So you're going to conferences to learn. You reading, listening, anything you're doing to sharpen your skill sets, any place you're investing in yourself. Like me, I'm thinking about taking some classes on Adobe Photoshop. And it's not like I'm going to be using it. It's just I want to know what I want. I want to know what the limits are so I can explain it correctly to other people that work for me. How about you? What are you thinking?
Actually, Photoshop's not a bad idea just for merch. Mm-hmm. I have a few merch designs up. I haven't uploaded in almost a year, but I still get a few royalties every once in a while. But I had them designed by a friend who was another seller who just needed some work. But I do want to learn how to do it, and so then I can teach people underneath me how to make designs and things like that. Because I may have my ideas and perspectives and what I'm looking at on the internet, because all my ideas have come off social media. But if I can have other people looking at other things of social media, I mean, I don't know anything about these popular celebrities or all these diets and just random weird things that are going around, because all my shirts were ones that made fun of politicians. But some of them did very, very well. But if there's people that know things about other things, I mean, because there's so many things you can make with merch. It's always good to have a fresh perspective on things. And if I can have a couple people under me giving me ideas and then me directing the ideas to someone else to get them made, it's good. But if I know how whatever program they're using, how it works, I can better communicate. And if necessary, make a few designs myself.
Hey, that's my thinking too, is I just need to be able to explain to them what I want, knowing the limitations of the system. Just knowing it, then I'll know how to explain it. So I'm with you on that. Communication's tough. All right. So the goal, I mean, dude, I'm very impressed. I love the story. I love the fact that you know your numbers. I love the fact that you recognize some of your shortcomings. I just think it's so smart. And I think that you're investing in the right places. You know, my advice to you is keep doing what you're doing. I mean, just put your head down, do the work. I'm just very, very impressed. So the goal of this podcast is to help people move forward. Give me a tip or a trick that you think that people can put into their business to move themselves forward.
Okay. If you're not using it yet, you have to start using Inventory Lab. Pair it with a thermal printer. I have to give credit for that to Matt Colvin and Brett Kyle. Brett Kyle was like, dude, you're doing these numbers and you're not using a Dymo and you're not using Inventory Lab. So he asked for my address. I gave it to him and he sent me a Dymo.
That's awesome. Now, see, there's somebody who stepped up. That's awesome. Love it.
Because there's no other Amazon people in my community. Otherwise, I'd be shouting from the rooftop that you need to be using Inventory Lab. You track your cost of goods. With a thermal printer, you can print off the labels as you go. And with live mode, you can pump out shipments so much faster, and it helps you understand your numbers better. That's the one thing, is Inventory Lab is vital.
You get to know your ASIN specific numbers, right? That's Peter's lesson, right?
Yes, and I was looking. I listened to that podcast this morning, and I was looking at that, and I'm like, that right there is a crap ASIN, and that right there is the head. That right there is in the torso, but I'd like to move it over the head.
See, you got that. You know what it is? I don't know. Did you think about his talk in Atlanta? Because he gave that talk, the head, the torso, and the tail. And you know, it stuck with me because, again, I was talking some similar things, right, about, you know, ASIN-specific knowledge. And then to hear him tell it again, it seemed to really sink in more for me. How about you?
It did. I went through and I'm like, which of these are crap ASINs? What can I do about it, or do I need to get rid of it? Because if inventory is sitting there, you could have inventory for free. But if it's sitting there and it's not selling, it's costing you money due to storage fees. And the bigger the item, the more the storage fees are.
Well, your time is valuable too. And Tyler, when you sit back and you think about, could you spend time doing this product that's profitable or this product that's marginal, right? And once you know that, I think that's the key, is of course everybody would be like, of course I want to go for the profitable. The problem is you don't know. And by getting that ASIN-specific strategy that Peter talks about, you will get there. Dude, I am very impressed, man. I can't wait to see you. I guess I'll see you in another 2 weeks out in Denver. I'm so excited. If somebody has a follow-up question, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
You can just reach me on Facebook or in my video games group. It's called Video Games E-Commerce. Or just personally messaging me on Facebook, that works too. I do check my other folder several times a day, so I'm pretty quick to getting to people that I haven't interacted with before. If you shoot me a friend request, I can't guarantee that it'll get accepted. I don't accept requests unless I have several mutual friends, just due to the massive amount of spam that is out there.
Yeah, so, no worries. So I'll put the contact in there from Facebook. Yeah. Dude, I appreciate it. Man, thank you so much. It's just so encouraging. Let me tell you, as a dad, it's so encouraging to hear a 22-year-old kid who gets it. I'm just telling you. You can't appreciate it. When you're my age, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Thank you so much. I wish you nothing but success. Take care.
You too. Bye.
So Tyler would downplay his success, and he would say he's nothing special. I would disagree. I can tell he's got it. I mean, he just has it. He's got a work ethic. He's going to outwork you. But here's the thing. I think Tyler's a great example of what's possible. If you're not happy in where your life is going, if you're not content on the future you see for yourself, you need to make a change. And so I believe in a side hustle. And I think, my opinion, that e-commerce is absolutely the side hustle of today. You're not tricking anybody. You're buying products and you're selling them to people who want them. I love that you're actually fulfilling a need, not trying to trick them into liking something that they don't like. The beauty is this business can be done with some hard work and effort. And it's a great side hustle. Don't leave your job. Don't borrow money. Just go and put your head down and do the work. And I think Tyler gives you the example of what could be. And he's a perfect example of that. So ecommercemomentum.com, ecommercemomentum.com. Also find me on Instagram. I've been into Instagram lately. E-commerce Momentum on Instagram. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.